there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Two Cool Moms. I am Joe Gatto.
I'm James Murray.
No, you're not.
Oh.
You're Steve Byrne. This is James Murray. I should be so lucky to be Steve Byrne. You live a charmed, blessed life, my friend.
I think we all do, buddy.
Yeah.
So nice to see you.
You too. Thanks it's good to see this, you guys. Buddy. We got a cool aunt with us. So I'm so happy they can join us, Murray. Thank you for taking the time, buddy. It's always fun to be around the Murph.
Well, I'll tell you, my kids have watched the movie multiple times. And they watch it when it's on TV, obviously, when we're hanging out or whatever. But I said to Kent recently, my son, he's seven, I go, who's your favorite Joker? He's like, well, I like Quinn, and I like Sal, and I like Joe, but my favorite Joker is Murphy.
It's a Smurfy.
Murphy. So 2 weeks ago, I went to a ride. I'm in the Newark airport. It's 5:30 in the morning. Oh, Jiggy knows the story, yeah. Right? It's 5:30 in the morning, and this woman, very loud for that early in the morning, yeah, screams out, is you Murph? Yes, I is Murph.
You're in my phone as Murph.
Am I?
You're not even in my phone as Murph.
You always called me Murph.
Always.
Not or Merv. Then it became Merv.
Merv became Merv. Merv. Griffin.
Yeah.
Came Griffin for a while.
Yeah.
Griffin.
We used to, for years, call you Fathead. I still oft call you Fathead.
Fathead. Yeah, that was my nickname for me.
I don't know why. No, I don't know where it came from.
Long was there ever a nickname you had for each other that actually did kind of sting?
No. Didn't you get in a fight with, not in a fight, well, you always got in a fight with Sal, but when Sal was calling you, Sal was trying to make Merv happen. Wasn't he?
Murr?
He was trying to make Murr happen, and then I called you Murr, and you liked it, but when he called you Murr, he said, don't call me that. I vaguely remember.
No, Merv. He used to call me Merv.
Merv.
Yeah. Yeah, like, when it was kitschy and, you know, off the cuff from Gatto, I was like, okay, I'm Merv.
Yeah.
It sounds like Merv. He says it derogatorily.
Oh, Merv.
You know? Yeah, he says it like he's judging me.
Judging Merv.
Judging Merv sounds like a great book.
That's the name of this podcast, actually.
Judging Merv.
Judging Merv.
Yeah, we do. We talk about court cases.
And speaking of which, you guys would be great, like, as judges. Don't you think?
He keeps telling me I should have been a lawyer.
People come in to, like, you know, and you guys, just, your vote, your decision matters in their life, legally.
But if we tie, we need a tiebreaker, and that's when Judging Merv comes
in. Yeah, I don't think we should be in charge of anything.
We bought the Merv carve.
No, we shouldn't be in charge. We do judge harshly people's questions sometimes when they come in.
Yeah.
You judge the way people spell their names.
Well, you judge my driving.
Well, you judge your driving's terrible.
Yeah.
So I just watched the movie Brand New. Came out like 2 days ago with, what's his name? Mel Gibson, where he plays a shock jock and callers.
I saw the trailer,
On the Line is the name of it? On the Line?
Oh, that's right.
Where the guy's calling, looking for life advice.
Yeah.
But they're in his house taking his family hostage. It's a must not watch.
It's a must mess.
Must mess.
Who is the one... Was the doctor that when we were younger, you probably like off to her. Like, she tell the stories like it was
Ruth?
Late night. No, not her. Wait, what?
Yeah.
I hope not.
Wait, right, guys? Dr. Ruth?
No, who was the, there was the late night, hey, thanks for calling in.
Oh, yeah.
And she was on like one of, she had a sultry voice.
Yeah, she was on like Love Lines.
Love Lines. Yes, Love Lines with Judy Dench.
Dame Judy Dench.
I forget her name. Love Lines. Jiggy, who did Love Lines? I forget her name.
Delilah, that's it. So I met Delilah. We did Love Line.
Yes.
Was it you and I?
No, yeah.
We were in LA.
We
did Love Line with Delilah. And it was I've been hard ever since.
Ever since, the whole time. It's the hardest
interview.
But she
does all the soft hits, right? From the 80s.
She does that, but then she does like the life advice.
Did you say soft hits or soft tits?
Soft. Well,
I'm not the only one.
They get mushy at that age.
It's a double T.
They're not firm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did the, she gives like the life advice inside of songs. Like she'd be like, this one's going out to Maria from California, right, whose husband recently had a threesome with her cousin and her best friend. Good luck to you, Maria.
Like,
that's like, it's so weird. Yeah, I don't know. In your life, though, I have definitely been somebody who gives you advice.
Oh, are
right,
you kidding
for
me?
Sure.
Yeah, sage advice. Joe's always wise beyond his years, you know?
Yeah.
Sage. Sometimes horribly so. Yeah, of course.
Consigliere wise, for sure. Who's your go-to friend for? Do you have one that you go to for advice?
My father, probably.
Mine's dead, yeah.
Sorry.
Didn't take it long to bring that up.
Oh, God.
My father has my crippling Alzheimer's and dementia, but tell us more about
your long, healthy father.
Probably my healthy father.
Probably my mom.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is
nice
that cool?
Follow-up. Yeah, that's great.
No, our good friend, Mr. Vaughn. He's probably a go-to
for sure. That's right,
for advice. Yeah.
What about what about Roy Wood? I feel like he has it all together.
He should be submitting like 15 questions.
I love Roy.
Did your father give you the birds and the bees talk, Steve?
Oh yeah.
I don't think I ever got it.
No,
I never did.
Did you?
My father said one thing to me. He said I was an altar boy, as were you, right? He said, this is birds and bees advice. Yeah. He goes, James, if a priest ever touches you, you let me know immediately. That's the only thing I swear he ever spoke about with sex.
Really? My dad, I vaguely remember my dad found a condom and in the house, whatever, and he assumed it was mine.
Oh,
but
you
I live with two older sisters.
Yeah.
It wasn't, so I don't know. I never really had the talk, though. What did we find out in school? We had the health class, which is
we had health class. Yeah.
Did you guys get a banana?
Our health class in high school was a joke, right?
Yeah. All-boy Catholic high school.
All-boy. Christensen taught the health class, and he taught music class as well. And the entire health class, all he would do is play records backward because he was convinced that there were satanic messages on famous records like the Eagles,
Hotel California.
Come on.
That was our health class.
But we would do it. We would derail the class by just mentioning it. Like somebody would bring it up, like it nonchalant, just like to get in it because I know we're going to rants. He's like, you know, we're going to talk about this, and he's trying to teach, and we'd be like, yeah, but you know, I mean, my mom was listening to the, and he's like, you play that record backwards, and he was just even had a record player in the class.
If you wanted to send him on a tangent and derail the whole class, you'd say, Mr. Christensen, we heard there are symbols contained on the dollar bill.
Yes.
Boom. He was QAnon before there was QAnon. The all-seeing eye. He'd go into this whole tangent about the Illuminati, the whole thing.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
For sure. That was a great way to just like be able to like spend a half hour. And the health class room was like the locker, the storage facility for the equipment in the basement.
Gymnasium.
Yeah. It was like literally like next to us was like in lockers was like dodgeballs, cones, like in, and then there was just desks in like this extra room.
That's so weird.
No air conditioning, just a lot of, you know, pubescent boys sweating.
So needless to say, James,
that's how we learned about it.
Was it an official class? It sounds like he was just scamming you guys into coming down to talk about
James
the
and I movies. Are classic lovers. That's what we've learned from the best of the best throughout the years.
Yeah. Who came on the radio the other day, and I had to confess to Melissa, my wife, that I used to do things to the song.
Yep.
It came on the radio.
Used to do things.
Chris Isaak.
Oh, yeah.
The name of the song, Wicked Games.
Yeah.
What a wicked game you play to make me feel. You know the video?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Helena Christensen.
The girl
on the beach
with the sand.
So you did that. You used to do things to the video.
I used to do things while watching the video.
Oh, I thought you meant you used to do things like listen to that song. I was like,
the song
sound like a song
takes
you want
me right
to.
Back.
Right.
The song came on and it was an instant.
You used to make love to music because we lived together.
Well, no. Did you remember Joe and I were obsessed for 1 month straight?
Yes, 1 month.
1 month when the music video came out for the song. Fern, 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 fern. This is too long. It's getting too long. Fern, 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 fern. You know that song?
Bump that, run that, in there, that one.
All night long.
Toot, toot, when the girl come around.
Talk at the town. Toot, toot, when the girl come around. Oh man, one month at lost from our life.
Who's your go-to when things get spicy? You're lighting some tea candles.
Oh, you mean
what's the go-to?
The ambiance in the room?
Yeah.
I love it. Ain't nothing wrong with a good bump and grind.
You run that on?
Ain't nothing wrong.
How could you not start laughing?
No,
for me, it's
the chicken dance.
I could be your hero, baby. I
could be.
The chicken dance?
Yeah. From my room, you're da na 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 na.
It was worse. When we lived together, man, you know, we our first apartment was 700 square feet, which is about the size of this room.
No.
Right? Joe's room wasn't a room.
No.
It was they had a little teeny home office, had no power in it. Yeah. We ran an extension cord from the hallway into his room to have power, right?
No windows.
If there was a fire, he was dead.
Done.
Right? Yeah. And we put a bullshit, like, kind of, like, sliding door, whatever it is. So I heard everything, and I heard everything. Like, the walls shook.
Yeah.
Joe was an aggressive lover.
I'm an aggressive lover. I'm hefty. I'm moving around a lot of weight, fella.
I was more of a part-time lover.
No, Murr really set the scene, which I always loved, too. It was great, yeah.
But we would do this thing. Thank God there was a lounge in our building.
Yeah.
We were gentlemen to each other. If we were entertaining a female friend or whatnot, and Bessie had actually lived with us for a while. Bessie moved in with us.
For a year.
So she...
The three of you.
Yes, the three of us.
Yeah. Each had about 150 square feet.
Yeah.
No way.
They got along swimmingly.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
We got along well. We were both equally incompetent in life. You know? Like, neither of us could cook. Neither of us could clean. We could do anything.
How old are you guys at the time when you're living together?
45. I guess it was probably 35.
Really? So a little bit
later.
We
were living together in the season one of the show.
Yeah, I was got to be 35 years old.
35.
So this is not your 20s.
No,
you guys
no.
Oh, no. We should have been capable adults.
Do you remember the night that we decided to move into the city?
I remember. Hold on. There's two different things.
We went out the night before, and you had to get back to Bay Ridge, and I had to get back to Staten Island. And we had finished the night at like 3:30 in the morning, and it took us both over 2 hours to get home.
2 hours.
No.
And we're like, we have to move into the city.
Do you remember the night the day we decided to on the apartment we did?
At the pizzeria?
At the pizzeria.
You did a man-up move. You did a move where you decided to lay down the whole deposit because I didn't have enough scratch at the time.
Yep.
And Jamar was like, I'll take care of the full deposit.
Yep.
And I still actually owe you $525.
You do.
I happen to have it.
I remember that. We decided we wanted to move into that black and yellow building.
Yes.
On Maiden Lane, downtown Manhattan.
The
it's a
beaver,
famous building.
The Beaver House,
right? It's a really famous kind of building downtown Manhattan because it's so different from anything else.
Yeah.
It's not a typical skyscraper. We had our hearts set on it, but we couldn't nearly afford it.
No, we were nowhere close
to it.
Yeah.
Even just a one bedroom was way out of our range, but we still wanted to see it. So we pretended to be a gay couple.
No.
I swear.
We wanted to see what it looked like.
So we go into the place and the guy's like, well, you know, there's only one bedroom. We're like, we're okay with that.
Yeah.
As if we're going to share, right? And we looked and it was way above
our range. The room was so gorgeous. Do you remember this? We were in the hallway.
It's so funny if that real estate agent years later is like, I know them. Yeah. Oh, I remember them.
There was a moment we walked down to the hallway, and we walked down. We really loved it. And the building was sick. There was a really nice. They had a pool in it and all that stuff. So I turned to Mark. I go, bunk beds.
We thought of every way to make it work.
That's a real consideration at the time.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Do you remember your last day living together?
I moved down the street one building over.
It didn't even feel like you moved out. Like
no,
he
moved,
moved one block
one
away.
Block. Not even
one
block. I went from 45 Wall Street to 37 Wall Street.
Wow.
Literally same block.
Your neighbors.
Five down. We were just
that's
same
great.
Side of the street.
And probably still hanging out all the 100%. Time.
100%. Well, I worked and lived with him. I was with
that's
Murray
that's right,
for
yeah.
years. We would years. We'd live together, work together. Come home together.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then we started traveling together too. I've spent more time with him than anybody in my life.
That's
really?
Absolutely.
For sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, years, plural, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
So what is Joe's greatest attribute and his weakness?
I will say the reason I am the man, and I will say man now, I wasn't always, I am now, and the reason I am, I have any kind of character or morality whatsoever in my life is because of Joe Gatto, seriously. I used to be intolerable, Steve. Really, just a tunnel vision kind of jerk off.
Sure.
And Joe rounded me out a lot. I mean, everything. He taught me, which is some people are born with it, like Joe Gatto. Most people are not.
Right.
He taught me charm. And that is a very different. Most people don't have charm.
Right.
And he taught me it and forced it on me. And now I think I can, if I turn it on, can be fairly charming and solid because of him.
Yeah. It's so weird to hear this because I know you to be anything but what you just described. So you've always come across as like a charming, sweet. Yeah.
For sure.
Great guy, Murr.
It wasn't more than that. It was like, for Murr, it's hard because Murr, a lot of the time, he was always the smartest person in the room.
You describe Murr as like hyper intelligent.
Yeah, he's like the smartest person in the room, and he has a problem communicating with dumb people.
So when they
didn't tell me that
was
okay,
it was even like even back in the day, like that was his thing. When it was like when people couldn't keep up with him, it would frustrate him, and you know, and it would like, and you just had to help him manage that. Be like, look, not everybody. There's a lot of dumb people. Like it's just life because you just have to get in front of it, you know.
Yeah,
but I think for sure. But even more so than that, it's like we grew up very similar. He has two older sisters,
right?
Identical families.
Yeah, yeah,
exactly right.
Yeah, so we had a very similar dynamic. That's why we always clicked very well.
Right,
you know. People say that all the time. It's like
similar work ethic too.
For sure.
You know, they, literally when new episodes would come out on Thursday nights, it'd be Joey and I in that apartment on Photoshop, knowing what was going to come up that night on TV, Photoshopping BS t-shirts and putting them up on whatever the website is.
Cafe Press.
Cafepress.com.
Wow, really?
We ran the merch site.
Post it that night when we had a budding fan base.
Right.
And fans would buy and we sell like, you know, $800 of t-shirts that night of the show.
Wow,
we're like,
that's crazy.
Bank.
Yes, in season one and two, we didn't have a props department. So anything you saw technology-wise, Murr and I made. So any videos that are using it, any Photoshops, there's a huge punishment for Q in season one, which is still one of my favorites ever, was where he had to present as an artist.
Right.
And he just took down things and it was like, this is what they are. And we Photoshopped these crazy pictures of him. We just took pictures of him against a white wall and then we just put him in crazy backgrounds.
Wow, and you guys
did
all that.
And we were literally up till 4 a.m.
Yeah.
You're the production team.
We were the production team. Wow, 4 a.m. in the apartment.
Yeah.
Coaching each other on doing it. I was making it. Murray was giving me the ideas. He was downloading the photos to send to me and we were just doing it together. And it's some of my favorite work we've done.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I had the keys to 45 Wall Street and I said, okay, one day, just tonight, you're going back to 45 Wall Street. There's a futon and a sleeping bag. Where do you eat and what do you do that night?
Taste of Tokyo. I call up Jenny.
Taste of Tokyo. So, yeah. So there was one block. Right? We couldn't afford any fancy restaurants. We were one block away from Bobby Van's Steakhouse.
Yeah.
We could not afford to eat there. Right.
Right.
But we could afford Taste of Tokyo, which who knows if it's still there anymore. Yeah. Right. It was a block away. You'd walk into the place. They would see Joe. Jenny was the main waitress. She would light up like a Christmas tree. She loved Joe. Yeah. Joe could do no wrong. He was Mr. Tokyo, right? He was the taste.
I was the taste.
He was the taste of Tokyo.
Yeah. Tokyo Drift.
I would walk in the next day on my own. She was cold and rude to me. She hated me.
It was so weird. That has happened to me multiple times. I had lived with Justin a long time, and our landlord, when I lived with Justin, in L.A., hated Justin. She would ask to speak to me. She'd open the door. She'd like, Joe here? She was this Russian woman. She's like, is Joe here? she would yell at Justin for playing the tuba. She thought he played the tuba. Yeah. She would yell at him. She's like, I hear you play tuba all night long. She yelled at him to play the tuba. And he was like, I don't play the tuba. He's like, where is your tuba? He's like, I can't hide a tuba. He's like, I'm not playing the... Joe, tell her I don't play the fucking tuba. I'm like, he doesn't play the tuba. And she's like, okay, it's okay, Joe. And she would leave. It was crazy. Yeah, but Jenny hated
me. Jenny hated me.
Yeah, but we loved their sushi. They used to run that. They used to run that deal. You buy one, get one half. So we used to split rolls.
Oh, that's
fancy
great.
Gentlemen.
So we, you're a tough person to buy gifts for, right? I do have a gift for you today because I owe you a birthday gift. Okay, I'll give it to you later tonight. Okay. But Joe did buy me what I thought was a very cool gift when we lived together. I always had in my mind that I could be one hell of a flutist.
Yes.
I just feel in my heart like I have innately the ability to play flute. Yeah.
Like you really.
Yeah, I feel like I can pick it up. It doesn't look hard. I feel like
people. It doesn't look hard. There's like all those knobs.
I have fingers.
You got
to
hold it like this.
Holes, right? All you got to do is plug a different hole and different sound comes out. It seems easy on paper. Yeah. So Joe one day said, Murr, I'm going to buy you a flute, but only if you promise me that you'll be able to play it.
Within a year,
and
you have to be able to play
45 Wall. He bought me a flute, and it sat there in front of the TV for 1 year straight. I never once picked it up.
No.
I still have the flute. I can't play a single note. Yeah. It's much more difficult than you think.
You remember that same day I had bought a ukulele? Because I was like, it's four strings. I got to play the ukulele. Never played a note ever. Bink. Never. I have no idea how to play a ukulele. People
and
rock
did
out.
You have a go-to spot that you would always go to at night? Like a little watering
hole? No, the city was good
or...
that way because we would always just find some place. Really.
We'd go up to the lounge on the top floor. We used to watch. We didn't have cable.
We didn't have cable.
We didn't have cable.
Watch Joker's, the TV show we were on. We would go upstairs. Me, him, Bessie, we'd have some friends over. We'd go up to the lounge. And do you remember that one time there was a kid watching TV there?
Yep.
There's a kid watching TV sitting by himself. And it was like Thursday night at like 10 o'clock. We're like, hey, man, could we put on a TV show? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm just kind of watching. I was like, you can hang with us. He's like, okay. And we turned it on. And he was sitting there watching the show. And he starts laughing. And then he looks at it. And he looks
at Murray, and he looks back at that, and he looks at me, and he looks back at that, and he goes,
"That's cool.
Is that you guys?" We're like, "Yeah." And he goes, "Why aren't you watching this in your apartment?" And we go, "We don't have cable."
Wow, that is crazy. Cable. That is cable. Absolutely bananas.
Yeah.
And then how long do you how long you lived there for? Two seasons together then?
No, one season together.
One season.
You and I probably lived together for 3 years. Maybe. 3 years total.
So into dreaming development, it goes. You guys are there together.
The whole thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
The whole kit and caboodle.
Joe and I don't mean to brag, but Joe and I used to get swole together. You know, I don't know if you could tell. We used to work out together at the top floor of this gym across from where we
Hold on. Hold on. You worked out?
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't call it working out. I used to run very heavily on a treadmill.
Joe would run. Like, if you saw The Rock running from a tsunami in an action movie, that's how Joe Gatto runs on the treadmill.
Yeah. He's a passionate runner.
He's a passionate, invigorated runner.
I run like I make love. Passionately.
He runs like Earth's gravity pulls harder on his body than anyone else's. Just bam, bam, bam. Yeah. Face beet red veins popping out of every orifice.
Yeah.
That's just walking up to the gym. Yeah. Yeah, we had the gym. I used to rock out that gym for a minute. But not a minute, literally. I didn't do much there. But Murray used to go up all the time. Like every night he would go. Then Murray did the stupid thing where do you remember that dumb thing you put on your door? So you had the thing with the pull up
chin up. I still use that thing.
So you had the thing that you hang on the door jamb and he would do that. So we had that in the apartment.
Yeah.
We had that.
Well, that's why, you know, I still do them, but I have like a machine that does it for me, you know? It slowly lifts
Melissa
me
holds
up.
His legs. It just goes up and down for him.
Yeah. But we got that you know, that thing that you latch on your door for people that don't have a gym.
Sure.
And I used to do it a lot in the apartment. And so I foolishly thought I could. We were filming in the pilot.
Yeah, it was the pilot.
The pilot episode 14 years ago. We're filming
West Street courts. We're playing.
You know
the
Fourth Street basketball courts. It's hardcore basketball players. Yeah. Like the best of the city go there. You don't dare go in the cage unless you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
We happened to be filming there for the pilot episode.
And in the pilot, they did documentary style too, where they would just follow us being us too.
Yeah.
So there was this part where Murray's about to explain. It wasn't part of the show. It wasn't a dare or anything. It was just Murray being Murray.
The challenge was simple. You had to heckle the guys that were playing ball, right?
So,
and those are not guys you heckle with, right? Anyway, so I get into a little tiff back and forth with these guys that are ripped, they're all shirtless and everything. And so
super nice guys.
Yeah. Somehow it comes up that they dare me to do 50 push-ups on the Fourth
pull
Street.
Pull-ups. Pull
no.
Pull-ups.
Can you crush it?
No.
Oh, no.
The guy goes, you can't do 50 push-ups. Mark goes, I could do 100. Like that.
No.
And then he jumps to do it, and he got to like 22, and he started slowing
like 37.
Down. No, you got to like 22, then he started slowing down, and then he started struggling, and he got close. You didn't get to 40, I don't think. You got to like high 30s.
Yeah, high 30s. Yeah.
And then he fell down, and he goes, showed you.
But that day, I think I earned their respect.
They renamed them the Murray Street Courts. That's what they are. They're Murray Street Courts. Yeah. We wanted that challenge. Remember, we wanted that challenge to be bad. Like, it was like a thing where, like, we'll set up a folding table and we'll go in and we'll put up a folding table and then we'll start commentating. So me and Sal went in suit and ties,
set it
up, and we're like, went, and the guys didn't even acknowledge us. No. Like, nobody, everybody was super nice. It wasn't what you thought it would be.
It just didn't work.
So we never saw the light of day. Yeah. Yeah.
So they weren't agitated.
No, they weren't. They were playing off. They're like, I'm going to sing this one. That was it.
Most people are cool.
Yeah, most people are.
In life in general, don't you think?
I think so.
More so than not. And then that was because that was also just the wrong
setup. There's good
setup.
People on both sides.
We were starting.
What?
Did you hear?
What? I don't want to have to beat
this,
you.
Do you know this theory going around that the internet as we know it died in 2015? And the internet you think of and all your social media is fake, that in 2015, AI reached a point where it crossed over and none of us realized that we already passed the point. And in 2015, everything you know of, all the information you read, all the social media, people you interact with, most of them are fake and the world is not there online.
So are you currently substitute teaching at a Catholic school in a gymnasium in a storage space?
Yeah. Yes. Also, if you play the Eagles backward, you get satanic
verses. Check out the dollar bill, guys.
Yeah.
So the theory is everything.
The theory is that like AI reached a point in 2015 where they've created, computers are creating fake accounts
that
and bots.
Very...
And it's upwards of 95% of the interactions you have on social media today is created by AI. It's not actually people posting these things.
Mm.
They're all fake accounts. Internet, as you know it, we passed the point of no return.
Some of the comments are so stupid. I do believe that.
So AI essentially is driving the narrative per social
world.
Politics.
Yeah, and 95% of it is created by computers. It's not actually people posting it. You and I see it all the time. I'm sure you see it too, Steve. Like, you'll post something on social media, and like, suddenly, you've got 1,000 comments and like 900 of them are automated nonsense. Like, yeah. All different accounts.
Sure, yeah.
900 money, of 1,000 yeah. within minutes?
Yeah.
How is this possible? And the real comments are maybe, you know, 20%.
Yep. Sure,
the
yeah.
The rest is, I don't know how it happens, man. Like within 5 minutes of a post, any post, I'm sure you get it too. It's all the, yeah. the late one is all these automated so-and-so, maybe a lot of money or whatever.
Send me win in the DM.
Whatever the heck it is. Well, it's hundreds, thousands of different accounts, all different sure. screens.
You only used to have to worry about a prince from Nigeria.
Yeah.
Now everybody's in on it. Everybody's wanting, looking to get that.
Yeah.
Say it.
Schedule.
We love it. I think that was thing with Elon Musk with Twitter was valuing itself at a certain point, and he was saying, "No, you guys are overwhelmed by bots.
Yeah.
So it's actually the value's a lot lower, or whatever, and there's a lot of interference, yeah. whatever." So
yeah. Do you think this is real, Steve? I wonder. I've talked to Joe about this. Do you think that your existence is real?
Well, every night I go home and. Yeah, my wife is like, when are you going to be home? Yeah, yeah, that then life's real, yeah.
You do? So this feels real to you?
It feels real to me, yes.
Okay,
yes.
Great.
But do you feel it's not?
No. No way, dude, we're totally living in the simulation. That being said,
so you feel the
every
Matrix
night
is
when
happening.
Absolutely. Every night I go home and I say, Melissa, I feel very blessed having met Melissa.
That you're the robot that loves me.
Yeah.
This robot's very happy that I found such a hot robot to love me.
How else do you explain how I landed her? Okay. Every night I said to her, I was like, I do believe it's a simulation, but I'm so thankful for my simulation. She's the hottest simulation I've ever met.
That's right.
I remember when I had first met your lovely wife, I was with Q and I were talking, and we're both like, wow, so sweet, so nice. And Q's like, I love her. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's intelligent. The only thing I don't like about her is he's with her. That was so fucking funny.
My marriage is entirely Joe Gatto's, doing. Dang, no joke. I had
really
ready for this. What an amazing turn of events. We were on the tour bus a few years ago, and I bid on an apartment. I was going to buy a new apartment. I never owned anything before, like 3 years ago, and I bid it on an apartment, and. They accepted my offer. I signed the lease.
Right.
Thank God I don't have the apartment. I never would have been able to afford it because who knows that months later, COVID and everything, right? Yeah. So thank God I didn't get the apartment. I signed the lease, send it in for the mortgage, the whole thing. They accept the offer, but they never countersigned the contract. And like 2 minutes before the deadline, they took someone outbid me and they took that person's offer and countersigned their contract.
Wow.
I didn't get it. I go to set. I was upset, obviously. And Joe says to me, we were filming at Cat's Deli.
Yeah.
And Joe says to me, he goes, you love this girl, Melissa? I said, yeah. He goes, do you think you're going to marry her? I said, yeah. He goes, so what the hell are you doing? He goes, stop. Stop trying to do that. He goes, go build a life together. And that was the moment. I was like, shit, he's right. And that led to me, obviously I got married shortly thereafter. Well, we got engaged, rather. And then we bought a house together. And I'm so happy now.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it was a talk in the back. He was like all fired up about this thing. And I'm like, dude, what are you worried about? I said, you got Melissa, right? You love Melissa? He's like, yeah. Are you going to marry? He's like, yeah, so concentrate on that.
That's great.
Simulated house is beautiful. It's great.
I write a hell of a program is really the point. Right. I'm a great programmer. Yeah, I write a hell of a program.
You are. You used to give me code.
I did. It's a true story. Should we get into some advice? Let Murray help the people?
We're going
to. The way this works is our fans write into us and we give them the advice as best we can.
Okay.
And the questions sometimes are fun and light and sometimes they're kind of heavy and we try to do our best.
Okay.
Yes. So I thought we'd start off with... This is just, sometimes we get general questions too. Mm-hmm. So this is coming to us from John. Hey, cool moms, and Murr. what is the one movie during your childhood that you would say shaped you the most?
Oh.
So it's not something you particularly maybe
shaped
loved,
you the most.
Shaped you. Yeah, influenced your life going forward. That's a good question.
I will say The Stuff made me hate marshmallow.
Excuse me?
The B-horror film, The Stuff, made me hate marshmallow.
What? I thought you were talking about Ghostbusters. No. What?
I thought so too. Yeah, I never
movie.
What is
it's a takeoff of The Blob. We talked about this before, The Stuff, remember? And it's a B-horror movie where it's not The Blob, but it's marshmallow.
Sure.
It's an alien, and it go in people's mouths and kill them. And it made me think of marshmallow, and I wouldn't eat it. This is you can take a look at the movie poster.
I've never heard of the Stuff.
It's not the movie poster.
That's The Stuff.
Hold on.
Yeah.
That looks like something that's on my laptop.
I've seen this movie on Pornhub. Okay. God.
Yeah, The Stuff. That was one for that. But I think as far as like creativity wise, definitely. I mean, I think you and I probably would link up on a lot of them, but definitely like Mel Brooks films, Young Frankenstein, Airplane, for sure. Yeah. Like that kind of comedy was maybe like made me laugh and be like, oh, I want to make things that make people laugh.
I mean, how crazy is it? You guys, we all grew up kind of in the same generation, and we're growing up with these great films, and then years later, I remember going on the cruise and Mr. Zucker is on
Zucker.
The show. I mean,
yeah, now,
that's still
the world. World is a, the simulations a weird place.
I know, I love it. Yeah.
That the guy that wrote and created one of the greatest comedies growing up, and you guys had him on a boat to have a Q&A. It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah, book travel.
How did that all happen?
He booked passage. He booked passage.
Yeah,
we were at the Nashville Comedy,
Comedy Festival
with
Vince.
You were there.
Yeah, you were there. Our first year. They were doing an event there with him, and then we were leaving. They were eating breakfast, and we saw them in the place, and they were like, "Oh, we're fans." We were leaving.
Wow.
Q was staying. His flight was later. He actually moved his flight to go and sightsee with them. Right, they went to the Nashville Zoo or the museum or something, and he spent the day with them.
Yeah,
and then he just traded information. They live in L.A., and we started talking, and we went to dinner when we went out there to see him. And the friendship budded from there. We never took with the brother.
No, Jerry. We only met him that one
time.
Yeah,
we only met him once. Dave really stuck with us, but Jerry, we didn't really.
And beyond nice.
Best.
He's
like an uncle.
So cool.
He feels like an uncle.
Yeah.
He has that vibe of like an uncle. Like
sure.
A cool, fun uncle.
And that Nashville Fest, I remember we had all gone out that night and went really hard. And you guys scheduled a tour at the Nashville Zoo. And my wife and I, to this day, will drive past and see that sign. And we always look at each other like, oh my God. We were so hungover, but we went and we laughed the whole time.
It's a great tour.
Yeah,
the behind the scenes one.
That tiger attacked
Sal.
Snow leopard.
The snow leopard attacked
Sal. Yeah, attacked.
You know, we went back a year later. A year later, and saw the same snow leopard.
No.
And then I was like, Sal, that thing's eyeball.
It bit Sal.
It grabbed like his shirt with its teeth and it scratched his arm.
Yeah,
but
it was
a baby.
Too big to hold.
Yeah.
You know,
Sal as well.
Too big to hold was my nickname in college.
Sal was also too big to hold anything.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be holding anything. Yeah.
What's your favorite movie? Growing up.
My favorite film of all time is Superman the movie.
I just loved
the story of untapped potential. Right, a young man who didn't fit in, kind of an outcast, and then learns to grow into his own. But also, I call my son Kent. We named him Kenneth because my wife's father had three daughters and never had a son. So when we had a son, we're like, oh, we got to call him. We got to name him after your father. This is finally the boy he wanted in his life.
Sure.
And so I call him Kent for short because I always thought, I know this is going to sound saccharine and a little sweet, but like if you break down like Superman and Clark Kent is like, I think just a great prototype of like somebody to aspire to be like. He can beat the shit out of anybody. He could fly. He could get laid. He could do it. But the whole time he just bumbles around as the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
He's just a really sweet. And that Christopher Reeve portrayal of him, I just thought, man, that's something to aspire towards. And it really isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the character, his character itself, as you were talking about earlier, I think you want to define yourself by character. He is. So I always told my son, Ken, I go, one day you'll understand. We'll talk about this.
Huh.
So we'll see. I don't know.
I agree with you. That was a hugely influential in my life. But I also, as influential, was Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
Terrified me as a kid. Terrified me for years.
Yeah.
And so much so that when we moved to the house I grew up in proper, there was a tree outside my window. And
no,
I begged
really?
My family to take it down.
Take it. Oh, my God.
I thought
that's
the tree
right.
Was
yeah.
Down. And I could not watch the movie for years. I only recently rewatched
it. Does
it
hold up?
It does.
It does. Okay.
It does.
I watched it not too long ago.
It holds up. It's scary as hell. And he did it back to back with E.T. You know, he did E.T. and Poltergeist back to back.
And E.T.
Both,
my God.
You know,
for sure. E.T.'s up there too for me.
Yeah, took my kids to see the re-release, a few months ago, like 3 or 4 months ago? Re-release, AMC's doing all these re-release classic films. We saw that. We saw Jaws. E.T., Tears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tears. Jaws was the one that scared me when I was little.
For
Jaws.
Sure.
Jaws scared me for sure, yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where even in the deep end of a pool, I'd be freaked out.
Oh, yeah.
As a kid.
Oh, you were dumb. You're just a dumb idiot.
By the way,
I stepped in a puddle. Ah!
My favorite mom story. My mother was amazing, right? So one day in the house we had moved into, we finally got a pool, right? Mm-hmm. An in-ground pool. But they poured the foundation wrong. It's over time, it just sunk. You know, they had to come back and fix it a few years later. My mother could not swim. terrified of the deep end of the pool, you know. So the pool guy comes in, he drains out all the water, he repatches the concrete, sure. you know, and fixes the whole deep end. And he says, Mrs. Murray, let me show you. I want to show you how we fix it. He goes, here, come here, walk into the deep end with me. And she goes, I can't go in there. He goes, why? She goes, well, I can't swim. And the guy says, empty. Lady, there's no water in the pool. She was afraid to walk into the deep end.
Oh, my God,
that's
really?
Amazing. That's the only time your mom was in the deep end. That's crazy.
That's it.
Wow. No, I didn't come to think of it. I've never seen your mom. It's all the 4th of July parties and everything. I've never seen your mom in the water.
No, she never went in.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, terrified. Couldn't swim.
And she had to take care of that freaking pool for you.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And she never learned.
No, yeah. And she never will now.
Now she won't, yeah.
Well, that's true.
Next question.
Okay, we're going to just move on here.
Yeah.
Okay. It's coming to us from Senya, I believe, with a silent Y before it. Would you say that? Senya?
Yesenia.
Yesenia, okay.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Yesenia?
Yesenia? Hi guys, my question is, my boyfriend just broke up with me 2 months ago and I'm still hurting. He was the first guy I've ever loved. He told me he loves me, but he had to let me go.
Oh.
We are now talking in, but as friends. Is it okay to be friends with your ex even though you still have feelings for him?
You're talking about the king of friends of their ex with their exes.
That was my go-to, yeah, for a long time. He says, yeah. You know, what is it? Breaking up through attrition? Is that, you know, the kind of expression?
Sure,
just
kind
of slowly let it fade and then transition to friendship. It does not work. Yeah. Yesenia. It does not work. You need to move on. Yeah. He's not the one for you, clearly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And if he's the one breaking up, he's doing it for a reason.
He's also lying. We know as guys that
he's
young. Say? That he did it for me or what he...
Whenever anybody says he did it for you, that's...
He has to let her go?
He has to let her go. That always feels like a line, even if it's true. I do get that. But I'm with Mara. I've always had a clean break. I haven't had many girlfriends. I've always had a clean break. The only one in my divorce is, that's not a clean break. So thanks for bringing that up, Steve.
My parents are FaceTiming me. I don't want to take this right now. My wife's.
It's like my mom, my wife, and my father. It's a group chat. Group chat. Sorry, guys. No, I think
we're making holiday plans.
Your simulation is so good, Steve. We get it.
No, I never had a clean. I've always had a couple like friendships that kind of lingered. The weirdest thing was for us. Was Murr invited one of my exes to my birthday party.
God. Oh,
I screwed
yeah,
up.
He's great. We were having it because Murr and I always had group friends.
Sure.
And there was girls in the groups, and we would end up, you know, dating or cordial, whatever, cordial with
sloppy seconds
with the girls. Well, first depends what order you were in.
Yeah.
And I he did not know that I had ended it. And I was like, oh, and then he invited the friend that he was talking with who brought her as like the plus one.
Oh, yeah. No.
And she came to my birthday party. And I turned and I said, what are they doing? He goes, oh, I told them to come. And I was like, why?
It was.
And he goes, oh.
Yeah, I screwed up.
He said, oh.
I screwed up.
Yeah, like, when it all hits you.
It's all that.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, so I've been around them. But I'm with Murr. I never really find that it works out. I don't see. I do see this, though. I do see reconnecting with people later in life mm-hmm. happening when people have moved on romantically to someone else.
Yeah.
And then if there is a true friendship, it might bud then.
Yeah.
But there, I don't see it. Instantly.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I when I moved to LA, I had met a great girl. Her name is Jeanette. We dated for a long time. It just, I was too young, really, is what it boils down to. I was so immature and I was a kid. And, you know, I had so much affection for her. And I still, like, I still have affection for her as a person, as an individual. It's like somebody I genuinely care about, you know? We don't talk all that much, but she became my real estate agent when we were selling our home in California. So
I've seen a lot of these videos.
This sounds like The Watcher, by the way, right? It was a childhood friend or whatever, reconnects with, sells him the house.
No, but she and, there we go, yeah. But she and my wife Jess got along, and I'm so in love with my wife, and Jess and Jenna got along, and I would say that in that regard, it's like, you know, it's nice to just check in and say, hey, how you doing, whatever. Sure. She's got a lovely family of her own and stuff.
Because that romantic piece is gone. Once a romantic piece is gone, if you're going to be friends, it's way easier. There's no confusion.
Right. Exactly.
But like when you've just broken up with each other, you need to break up.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's been a long passage of time for sure between this, but
Yesenia, there are better guys out there for you, so.
And worse, so be careful.
And if you're young, this is your first guy you love.
Yeah, those streets get messy. Those streets get messy. Yesenia, you got to watch out. There's a lot of bullshit on these streets.
What street?
The streets. The ones that are out there. You open your door, the streets.
Okay, that one's kind of similar. All right.
It's the boyfriend. He's like, hey, I just broke up with this girl, Yesenia.
Okay. It's coming to us from...
More. Hit me.
I broke up with a girl. I was the king of breaking up with girls on vacation.
He did that. That was his go-to move.
I did it multiple times. Yes.
Why would you do that on vacation?
One of my go-to moves early in the show.
A fight in paradise.
One of my go-to moves would be to, I go away with someone.
Right? A nice parting gift.
But I'd only go away for a few days because you don't want to spend a week with somebody, you don't know, right? Go away for a weekend kind of thing.
You're hanging out with a girl. She seems cool. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to Vegas next week. Why don't you come on out? Fly out. She flies out. And then, you know, you see somebody show up with like bow ties on their high heel shoes and like polka dots, like hair all up. You're like, oh, fuck. What did I invite here?
One of my favorite stories about my mother was I was on a cruise ship in 1999 to 2000. I went on a cruise with my five good guy friends. And we had a great time. And I met the girl who was the waitress there was from South Africa. Mm-hmm. She's a South African girl, super sweet, nice girl. She's like, hey, I'm coming to New York. She's like, I don't know where to go. Do you mind if could we go out? We had exchanged information. I said, sure. So me and a couple of the guys went out. We took her out. Super, you know, had a great time going out. She ends up coming back to my house when I was living. Right. This is when I was living upstairs in my mother's house.
Okay.
So I'm living upstairs in my mother's house.
So things are good.
I wasn't in the basement yet, so it's not necessarily good. So we were upstairs, right? We had an evening. I was running on the treadmill. Then I, like, my mom woke up and went down. She was downstairs, and the girl woke up. I'm doing a chicken dance with the South African girl. She had no rhythm. She was a white girl, right? So she goes downstairs, and my mom is there, and she's like, oh, hello. And my mom was cool. Me and my mom talked all the time about things. And she goes, you know, I'm in my high 20s at this point. And she goes, she's like, oh, hello. So she sits down. She's like, how are you? She's like, good. She goes, I'll have some eggs.
No.
To my mother. And my mom goes, oh, okay. She goes, so my mom puts down a coffee, goes upstairs. I'm laying in the bed. I didn't even know the girl got up.
Great.
Swings the door open. She goes, oh. And I roll. She goes, your whore wants some eggs.
Are you serious?
Swear to God.
Oh, my
God. Swear to God. It's so
your
funny.
Your whore wants some eggs. That's Jerry Gatto
for you. My mom, man. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man.
Oh! Your whore wants some eggs.
Hey, I think we just found the title of the episode. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. James Murray, love you, buddy.
Love
thank
you
for
guys.
Joining
thanks
us.
For
Murray.
Having me.
Thank you so much
the
for
best.
Joining us. And I got to tell you, on behalf of, both of us, we're all touring and everything. I see Murray's tour schedule. I've texted you this before. I consider myself to be a hard worker. I think Murray could be the hardest working man in show business I've ever come across.
One of the best
workers. I see his calendar. He's constantly grinding. He's always doing something. He's very creative.
Writing books.
And books, author. Trying to create IP. Lover. Running all over the
country. Candle helper. He's a billboard.
All ages shows. That I've got to bring my kids to. And green tea shots.
Does it all.
Multiple, but very inspiring. And always good to hang
love
with you, buddy.
Buddy.
Yeah, love you too, man.
Thanks, guys.
These two cool mommies love you, so show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.